Blog Talk Radio.
I want to present to some and introduce to others your host for Anything But Ordinary Radio, Mr. Michael McCleary.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening from wherever you are listening to us right now. I am your host, Michael McCleary, and I'm so excited to have all of you with us for Anything But Ordinary Radio. I'm really, as always, excited about our guests. We always have great guests on to share with you today, and our guests today are going to be talking about extraordinary relationships. And today is an all-Florida show. We have two individuals from Florida, the state of Florida, who are going to be with us. Counselor Ken Donaldson and mediator Karen Vera will be with us today as well. A really exciting, great show. We're going to be talking about relationships, an important issue. I mean, not only wherever you are in your life, relationships are important, whether it's your relationship with a spouse, your relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend, a business partner, relationships at work, with your children. Everything we do in our life really revolves around relationships we have with other people. So a great topic today. I'm excited to share with you some insights, some ideas, thoughts, and tips from some great individuals who really have some knowledge in this area to share with you today. I'm also excited, as always, to introduce our co-host. Maria DiGiovanni is with us today. Maria, how are you today?
I am so excited about this show, Michael. I'm a single woman in my 40s. I am thrilled. Cannot wait.
cannot wait to find more about relationships, right?
Exactly. We can all use the help.
We can. I mean, whether you're single, married, whatever you are, we all can use the relationship help. I'm definitely sure of that.
If you have other people in your life, this is a great show.
Exactly, and really that goes along with our quote of the day for everybody who knows me or doesn't know me. On my Facebook page, I post every day a quote of the day, and today's quote is, remember, we all stumble, every one of us. That's why it's a comfort to go hand in hand, and that was written by Emily Kimbrough. Again, just a good thought for all of us to remember. You know, it's a lot easier to do it with other people than it is to do it on your own. So creating great relationships, lasting relationships, are very important. And if you have issues in your relationships, finding ways to just make it work, however you have to make it work, is a really, really important thing to do. For those of you who are new to our show, you can visit us here every Wednesday, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, here on Blog Talk Radio, www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary. And you can also visit that page if you're not listening to us live. You can listen to the archives. We have a lot of people who listen to the archives from all over the world, literally, who are listening to our archives. Please do that, and you can also subscribe to a podcast. So if you want to listen to the show while you're out running or working out or doing something around the house, you can download it, listen to it on your iPod. A great way to automatically get updated with the show every week. And with that, I'd really like to introduce our first guest, who's Ken Donaldson. And Ken, I've known for, wow, it's been probably 5-6 years now. I originally had talked to Ken when I was creating my documentary film. We never got a chance to connect and do an interview. We did a teleclass at one time, but not really an in-depth interview like I'd wanted to do for the movie. So a little bit about Ken is he's overcome addiction, depression, and divorce, become one of the leading authorities on positive mental health, successful relationships, and winning the inside game of life. He's been offering counseling, coaching, and educational programs since 1987, so this guy knows it. This is a person you really need to listen to. His long list of credentials include the following. He's a licensed mental health counselor. He's a board-certified addictions professional, a board-certified clinical hypnotherapist, certified in rapid resolution therapy, and a certified master relationship coach. And he's also author of a great book, a breakthrough life and relationship book called Marry Yourself First. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michael. So good to be here.
you know, I really appreciate you being on. And then, like I said, number one, you've got a great book, and people really need to pick up a copy of it. But beyond that, you have a lot of information. You've been working with so many people, couples, individuals, at working through their issues that they have, particularly when it comes to the issue of relationships. And so maybe share with us a little bit about your philosophy about how to make an extraordinary relationship.
Absolutely. If it would be okay, I'd like to give you just a real brief thumbnail sketch of how this evolved in my own life, because it really is.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's a transformation of some of the things I experienced personally. And, you know, I would say to each and every person, and in fact, I even write about this in the introduction and Marry Yourself First, I don't believe in self-help books. And now everybody gasp and, you know, take a deep breath. I don't believe in them because I think if they worked, we'd buy a book and we'd be done. And obviously, that's not what's going on. You know, we buy one, then we buy another, and all of a sudden, that's the biggest section in Barnes & Noble and Borders. And so I think we need something more than just reading a self-help book. Obviously, the books have a lot of information. But one of the things that I discovered, Michael, was that, and actually, back in 1993, I went through a divorce. And when you're the self-proclaimed relationship expert and you go through a divorce, that's what you call cause for a pause. And you go, what the? I mean, I scratched my head and I said, oh, my gosh, you know, here I am. It wasn't that I had a lack of knowledge, because that wasn't it. What I was lacking was some depth. I didn't really see some of these inner missing pieces. And it wasn't until I really started to look deep and I started to engage in conversations with other people who were having some of the same challenges that I began to really get to the core of what was missing in my life. And so bringing it back to the self-help, my self-help book philosophy is, you know, a book is great, but when you can process that book or that information or process what's going on with you with other people, there's such a huge quantum leap that we take as far as really getting that into our lives. And so since 1993, since I went through a divorce, I've been on this path, and I would call it the path to really discovering myself. And obviously the title of my book, Marry Yourself First, somewhat speaks for itself. And it's really about knowing yourself, trusting yourself, loving yourself, and believing in yourself. And when you've got that going on, you make so much better decisions. Your decision-making process is so much more improved, particularly when it comes to relationships. You're not getting into a relationship out of a desperation or neediness or out of any kind of a lack. You're getting into a relationship because you truly want to share your life with somebody.
You know, I'm sorry, Maria, go ahead.
Actually, I have a question for you. It's a pleasure to meet you, Ken. This is Maria.
And likewise, it's nice to meet you too.
I want to know, I love the description that the fellow author gave about your book, Codependent No More Meets the One Minute Millionaire.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Well, there's really two sides to Marry Yourself First. One side is it's really about how to have a non-codependent relationship. In other words, how to have a happy, healthy, harmonious, balanced relationship. And as I just got done saying, not one out of need or desperation, but one that comes out of fulfillment. So yeah, that would be the antithesis, if you will, of codependency. And then the one minute Millionaire is really, I think more than anything else, a book that speaks a lot of what we would probably call today the law of attraction or prosperity consciousness. It's a great book in that it's actually two books in one. It's a fiction and nonfiction book that's all intertwined into one. But it really points out the principles it takes to have a successful life. So when I wrote Marry Yourself First, I didn't want it to just be a relationship book. I wanted it to be a book that really in which I was going to share everything that I've learned in my lifetime that I've been able to apply to my own life and that I've watched my clients and my colleagues and my friends do, all the success principles that are working in people's lives. And so, yes, it's about relationships, but it's much bigger than that. It's about having a fabulous life, having a fulfilling life, really, really, truly living that life of prosperity consciousness.
Very good. Being a codependent, love addicted, control freak in recovery, I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, and I want to give you, by the way, I've got a number of other works in progress, and one of them happens to be with this term that we refer to as recovery. I want to give you something new to play with, and the word I want to give you instead of recovery is discovery. Because I think, you know, recovery, really what recovery says is it's bringing us back to a place of stability. Recovery means we're going back and we're getting what we've lost or misplaced or what's been damaged, bringing us back to a place of stability, bringing us back to, if you will, ground level zero. And that's a great thing. I mean, great to have a stable life. You know, that's called sanity. But discovery is continuing on that path, and as was said so wonderfully in Star Trek, to boldly go where you've never gone before. And, you know, that the recovery process focuses much on the healing process, which is an absolute necessity. I mean, in fact, it's the first piece, and that's the foundation. And the discovery process is, okay, now that you've got a nice, solid, firm foundation, let's build this mansion of your life. And that's really about stepping into and living the extraordinary life that we all really desire and deserve.
The visual is great. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
You know, Ken, you talked about you went through divorce and you really kind of discovered yourself through that divorce. A lot of times people look at the ending of a relationship or something that can be taken as a real negative, as a bad thing. You were able to turn that into something very powerful, not only to help yourself, but to be able to help others. Maybe could you share a little bit about that thought that, you know, we go through things, and sometimes they're very painful, they're difficult, but when we come out the other side, we can really create something good and powerful out of a situation that might appear not so good at the time.
Yes, and I think you bring up a great point, Michael. And the key phrase in that is go through it. And unfortunately, many people aren't willing to go through it. People run away from it, they avoid it, and I believe
try to get over it.
Well, anything but go through it, right? And that's really the invitation to have I think more than anything else, an addictive lifestyle, because I think people turn to addictive behavior as a way to not deal with things that are awkward, uncomfortable, painful, out of their comfort zone. And I made a conscious effort at that point in my life. If we went back a few years, we went back to 1975. 1975, I had gotten arrested for the third time for drug possession, and I faced some very, very serious charges. At that point in time, it was mandatory prison time. And I got into a treatment program, and that treatment program planted the seeds, although I had to go back out and relapse a few more times, but it really planted the seeds for me of realizing that I was somebody of worth. And after a number of relapses and realizing that I just could not do drugs and alcohol. I just couldn't. Some people can. I couldn't. And I made a decision that I just wasn't going to do that anymore in my life. And so when I was going through the divorce, it was like, you know what, addictive behavior is not an option for me. And I have to tell you, I had to face what some people call the dark night of the soul. I had to face these aspects and parts of myself that I never knew even existed that were really quite frightening and very painful in a lot of ways. And yet I believe that, as Napoleon Hill, the author of Think and Grow Rich, said, that every adversity in life brings with it a seed of equal or better, greater benefit. And I believe that by going through that process, number one, it made me a better person because I got more whole, more complete, more conscious with who I am. And number two, the gift that I came out of that with is such a profound understanding and empathy for the struggles that people have when they go through that process. And it has made me a far better therapist. It's made me a better friend. I believe that my writing, although I would never say I'm the greatest writer in the world, but I believe my writing has more depth and soul to it because of the willingness to go through that process. So I really do believe there's something to be said, and I believe that's true for everybody. I've seen it with so many clients over the years when they go through these really challenging traumatic situations from their past and they get through them to the other side, there's a gift there waiting for them. And it's different for everybody. Some people come out of that with this amazing creative gift. All of a sudden, you know, they're able to write poetry or sing or dance like they never could before. Some of them go on to become clinicians and help other people that have gone through similar kinds of things. But I really do believe that there is something really great for us that awaits us when we are willing to go through those processes.
Oh, I thought you were going to ask a question.
Now, if somebody doesn't step in, I'm just going to take this show over, so be careful.
I am soaking it all in. Are you kidding me? Again, he's speaking my language because I have gone through, and trust me when I tell you, I understand the process, and it is a lot easier just trying to get over it, but I have to agree, most of the people that I deal with that just try to get over it end up becoming alcoholics or drug addicts. So, but walking through the valley of the shadow of death is a very difficult thing to do. And I'm going to have to agree with everything that you said, and I'm speechless, obviously, Michael.
Well, I know a little bit of Maria's stuff, and I know she's gone through some things, and that's why I expected, you know, exactly that reaction, because I know you could totally see exactly what Ken was sharing and saying. Ken, really quickly, is there, for people who are going through relationship issues, who are having problems, whether it's with a spouse or a coworker or really anybody, a friend, who it doesn't matter. You know, people are going through a relationship issue. What is a tip that you can give people? Like the first thing to do when you're having an issue with someone else, what is it that we should concentrate on to start alleviating that problem?
Be a really good listener. He who listens most wins. That's the Proverbs according to Ken. Now, go back, think for a moment, if you will. I'm going to give away my age here a little bit, but there was a television show back in, I think it was the late 70s, early 80s, called Kung Fu. Remember that with David Carradine?
Sure.
No, I'm way too young for that.
Okay. In that show, you know, he was, I believe the whole premise was he was searching for his father, and he was this, you know, extraordinary martial artist, but this very peaceful man who came over from Asia, and he's now in the United States around the turn of the century. And inevitably on every show, there's ends up being, you know, a dozen cowboys that have him surrounded. They all got guns and whips and rifles and, you know, everything, and machetes. And he doesn't have anything. He's got this little backpack, and they all come charging at him. And he you know, just very gently steps out of the way and pushes him and nudges him and ducks and turns around. And then, you know, somehow somebody really gets him back in the corner, and then he's got to sort of punch and kick. And before you know it, in a matter of 30 seconds, all 12 of these cowboys are knocked out. Doesn't ever kill any of them, but he just knocks them all out. And it's this very gracefulness. And so if you can think about really taking on that kind of energy, and I oftentimes refer to it as tongue foo, you know, when we're challenged with the most difficult situations, we have to rely on our ability to communicate extraordinarily well. And the cornerstone of extraordinary communication is effective listening. You, by being an effective listener, you can actually control a relationship. But there's a real art to doing that. And being an effective listener doesn't mean that you're not saying anything. It's just you're saying is very purposeful, very focused, very targeted, and it's really all about the other person. It's not, you know, not getting caught up in, I feel like I have to defend myself or explain myself, or I'm going to avoid getting into an emotionally charged situation. It's just really giving the other person validation for their feelings and not agreeing with them necessarily, but validation. So what I hear you saying is that you're feeling really upset because of that thing I did the other day. Well, that makes sense to me. You know, how can somebody argue with that? You just defused it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's complete sense, and it's a great, great point. Just do a quick station identification. You're listening to Anything But Ordinary Radio. This is your host, Mike McCleary, with co-host Maria DiGiovanni and our guest, Ken Donaldson. You can find us here every week, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, on www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary. And, Ken, we've got about 10 minutes left in this interview, and I want to turn a question over to Maria, because I'm sure she has a whole bunch that she'd like to jump in with. I love to put you on the spot like that. Don't you like that, Maria?
I know. I appreciate it so much. Ken, when you're dealing with families, okay, and I'm not sure how many of if you do family therapy or not, when it comes to communicating and getting the right order of communication, how do you deal with that?
I'm going to reiterate what I just said. It doesn't really matter what the circumstances are, who the people are. Effective communication starts with effective listening. And let me just break the principles down of effective listening. Effective listening, I believe, it includes a willingness to understand the other person, a commitment to create an empathy, so you're actually in their shoes, so you're really getting a full sense of what it's like, and also a commitment to working towards win-win. What
okay.
happens a lot of times in family situations, and it's that old saying of, you know, you're so close to it, you can't see it, okay? You can't see the forest for the trees. You know, it's and I will tell you, I get triggered with my family. So it's not it isn't about ever being totally free of it or being perfect. It's about recognizing there are certain elements, there are certain techniques and tactics that when you implement them, it really helps move the relationship forward. And that's really the goal. The goal isn't about who wins or who loses or who's right or who's wrong. The goal, and that's part of that commitment, and the win-win commitment is about how can we move the relationship forward. We don't want to end up with a canyon between us or a wall between us. We want to end up really building a bridge and reinforcing that bridge with every conversation that we have.
You know, I think that's a great point you brought up too, Ken, is that whole concept of, you know, even with you, you're the relationship guy, the quote-unquote relationship guru, you know, you still get triggered sometimes with incidents that happen in your life. And I think a lot of times people will get upset with themselves as if, you know, I can never get upset or I can't make a mistake. I do this too, and it's difficult sometimes for people to imagine. They look at people who are very successful at something, whether it's you or, you know, say Dr. Phil or whoever else that's really good at relationships. You know, they must think, well, they never get in arguments. They never have issues. They have all the answers. And that's not the case. No matter who you are, you have those things that come up. But finding the right way to deal with those emotions that come up is really the key to successful relationships, at least is what I'm hearing from you.
Yes, it is, absolutely. Because the human condition is such a complex, multifaceted experience, you know, so many variables. I mean, I don't know, let me ask the two of you, do you know why some days you wake up and you're in a really great mood? And it's not like you ate anything extra special the night before. It wasn't anything extraordinary happened when you were sleeping. You just wake up and you're just in this extra good mood. It's like, well, how did that happen? You know, we don't have total control over all those things. You wake up some days and you're grumpy. You wake up some days and you feel great. It's like saying, you know, it's like the weather. It's like, oh, man, there's a cloud in the sky. Isn't that terrible? Well, no, it's just a thing. So, you know, I think we have to be aware of there's so many variables in just being a human being. And then when you bring these two multi-variable human beings together into a relationship and you start mixing all those variables together, all of a sudden it multiplies itself. And so, you know, I think there's part of this about, you know, do the best you can. One of the things I work with couples, and I always tell them, I say, look, one of you is always going to be a little bit more sane than the other one. And whoever's got the most sanity in the moment, that's the person that needs to take the lead and get you all to the next space. Because if you both get sucked into the insanity part of it, the power struggle, the argument, the complaint, the, you know, who's right, who's wrong, it just sort of sucks you down into this negative vortex.
That I agree. Well, just listening to you makes me exhausted.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to exhaust you. I was supposed to, trying to bring energy to you, Maria.
No, but you know what I mean? Because, gosh, when you've lived there, it's just a bad place to be, and you just don't want to go there anymore. So you have to choose happiness every day.
Yeah. Yeah, and it, you're right. It is. It's a choice. You know, and I think there's some things that we can do to equip ourselves every day. I encourage people to create a daily practice, and in that practice, not that there's any right or wrong way to do that, but you know, part of that practice is having some kind of a mantra that's a personal explanation or a personal description about who you are and what you're all about, and being able to visualize where you're going in your life, and really making those pieces some of the foundations of how you launch yourself into the day and prepare yourself for the day. My mantra is sort of something that I borrowed from an old teacher from the turn of the century. His name was Emile Coué, and I sort of modified it to my own. And simply, every moment of every day, I get better and better in every way. And I probably say that, and I'm no exaggeration, I probably say that a couple hundred times a day to myself, but I start my day off with that. I visualize my book being a New York Times number one bestseller. I visualize myself being on Oprah. I visualize myself in my dream house with my dream car, and I visualize myself having this, not myself, but visualizing what I'm doing, having this huge impact and really creating a relationship revolution, that people really are embracing relationships and valuing them at the level they need to. So I visualize that, and it takes 2 minutes to do that every morning. So that equips me. It's sort of like my armor for the day.
Very good. I also have something, too. I just wake up, and I tell this to all the women that I work with, is you are the daughter of the king. What better position to be in?
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
So, and if you can look at yourself and think of that in the majesty of it, then wow, yeah. So I get it.
Yeah. That makes you the princess warrior then.
Hey, woohoo.
That's right. That's some good mojo.
I like that.
Yep, that's right. So see that.
That's some really good mojo to start your morning out with. Ken, we've only got a couple more minutes left in our interview. Tell, if you wouldn't mind, share with people not only you know, some more about, you know, how they can get your book, but also where they can find you.
Sure. You can find Marry Yourself First at www.marryyourselffirstbook.com. That's www.marryyourselffirstbook.com. In fact, at the website right now, we've got a special going on. When you invest in the book, you will receive a copy of the companion workbook absolutely free. So you get both of them together for $27.95. And that also entitles you to a free membership to my personal empowerment coaching program. I have a monthly teleclass that I do that is absolutely free for people who have invested in Marry Yourself First. I answer their questions, give them information above and beyond what they find in Marry Yourself First. So that's a website that's dedicated to Marry Yourself First. My website, my hub website, is a real easy one to remember. It's www.kendonaldson.com. And on that, you'll find a number of articles. You'll find my blog. You'll find some information, additional information about Marry Yourself First, different programs that I offer. There's several free things that people can download actually on both sites. So I try to provide as much free information as I can. And I know people like that, and it usually helps to build a relationship with people.
Well, Ken, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really, really appreciate it. Lots of great information. I can't thank you enough for being on and taking your time to be with us today.
Okay, well, let's do it again sometime. This was fun.
It was a pleasure.
Definitely,
meeting
definitely.
You.
Well, thank you, Ken. We will be back in 30 to 60 seconds, we have a quick advertising break, and we'll be back with our next guest, Karam Vera.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master?
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the karate glove. And I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
Chop wood, concrete, trees. It can even chop through these 8 guitars.
Hi-ya! Visit InventNow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Anything But Ordinary Radio. I'm your host, Michael McCleary, with our guest co-host. I shouldn't say guest co-host. She's our full-time co-host. Maria DiGiovanni is with us today.
I just accepted a job. Okay, full-time. I'll go for there.
Well, you are mostly full-time. I mean, Sarah Benedict is with us a lot, but she's on a hiatus and some things going on in her life she's busy with taking care of. But, you know, both the two of you, really, I consider you both my full-time co-hosts. So I got to avoid the guest thing anymore.
Oh, lovely. Well, let's go. What's the next part? Michael, did we lose you? We may have lost Michael, so I would like to introduce our next guest, and it's Karam Vera, and she is a Florida Supreme Court Certified Family and Dependent Circuit and County Court Mediator, and also a Certified Guardian Ad Litem. She has a degree in psychology and is bilingual in English and Spanish, and it is her ability to communicate in both languages and understand and appreciate Florida's vast culture diversity that enhances her ability to resolve cases. I would like to introduce Karam to our show. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Hi, Maria. How are you?
I am good.
I guess we lost Michael, huh? Well,
I
good.
We did. I'm back.
Oh, hi, Michael.
The wonders of modern technology.
Boy, he really wants to put me on the spot.
He put you on the spot. Look at you. You got hired and was put on the spot all at the same time.
It works. Let's go.
It's a pleasure to be here with you guys. Thank you.
Thanks for being on with us. Karam, tell us a little bit about what you do. What is mediation? I think a lot of people are don't know about mediation or are a little confused about the subject.
Well, mediation is actually a very informal process, and it's basically having a third person, an impartial third person, joining a situation. Basically, wherever, like I specialize mostly in family, but whenever there is controversy or a situation that needs to be resolved, and instead of having either the courts or the individuals fight over it, they get someone that is going to help them facilitate the communication. That's basically what my role is I facilitate communication to both sides so they can hopefully come out with an agreement, some type of resolution, so that they can resolve their issues. It's basically helping them think outside the box. It's allowing the both parties to basically vent, because a lot of people really don't resolve issues unless they have the opportunity to speak up and vent, you know. And then once that's off their chest, then they can go ahead and continue on and move on forward. So it's basically that process. It's just the ability of having a third person communicate and give everybody the opportunity to try to resolve their, it's a self-empowerment, basically. You know, it's good listening skills. You know, helping others to think, well, what if this was this way, or what if that was that way, you know? Because as a mediator, we're not allowed to go ahead and tell you that you're right or you're wrong, or to decide anything for the parties. You self-empower yourselves, you know, and you come up and you create your own decisions. And that's basically that's what mediation does, you know. It's a very, like I said, informal Yet it's very comfortable, and I think it brings a lot of peace of mind to each one, because they both, it's about compromising, you know. It's not about a win-win. Nobody loses, nobody wins. Basically, you both come out, you know, losing, because you both give in a little bit of something, but you create something. So, you know, it depends on how you look at it.
Very good. How did you get into mediation?
It was funny. I was in school, and we had to do a practicum, and I had a girlfriend that told me about the guardian ad litem. And so I said, okay, well, I'm definitely going to find out about, you know, guardianships. And I've always loved to deal with families and children and so forth. And when I got my first case, I went through the training for the guardian ad litem. And then I got my first case, and a couple months into it, my case went to mediation, and that's how I discovered mediation, and I was just blown away. I love the law field. I love anything that has to do with, you know, the law and family and situations like that. Very involved with things like that, and I just fell in love with the mediation immediately. After that, I was like, okay, I definitely did my research and so forth, and then I started from there. I first got certified with county, and I did that for a couple of years, and I have children, so, you know, my career took a little bit of a step back, because I really dedicated myself to my home, my three kids, and then throughout the time that I have continued to mediate throughout the years, I've just started to gain more certifications and so forth, and I have finally finished complying with all my certifications. I have my county, my dependency, my circuit, and my family certifications. So basically, I'm able to mediate anything. But I have to say that my niche is family. You know, I love to work with family and the parties that, even though they're going through a horrible stage in their in their lives, because, again, dissolution of marriage, divorces, and so forth, you know, coming out with a parenting plan is very hard. It's very, very hard to take. A lot of people don't know the details that a parenting plan, you know, has, and it's very hard for the family. And, you know, walking them through it and making sure that they understand and that it's okay to be emotional, it's okay to, you know, have to, you know, take a step back and just, you know, breathe and so forth. I mean, it's very comforting and rewarding for me to be able to help families, you know, come to those solutions. I get a lot of work from the courthouses, and I do get private work, and every case is very unique, you know, every case, you never know which case, you know, is going to blow your mind. You know, so
you've seen a lot, and like you said, you've seen a lot of situations, a lot of people going through a lot of different things, and you know, all of it is a relationship. In your experience with working with so many different people with so many different problems that they need mediation for, what makes a good relationship that you've discovered out of seeing all of these different cases?
You know, I think I have three keys, and I was listening to you before to Ken, listening skills and so forth, and I think the three things that is like the main, the seeds to any relationship is first communication. And I know for some men that could be very hard. I know that for my husband, I'm always like dragging the words out of him, you know. But I think communication, a balance between work and your personal life. And I also think that listening, you know, I think, you know, those three, the balance and the listening skills, the communication, respect is the one that I was missing. I was trying to think out of the top of my head. Respect, you know, I think that if you lose you lose respect between both of you, between each other, communication stops and the balance stops, because then it shuts down a door, you know. And I think you always have to have that open. Always know that, you know, the respect that you provide to your spouse, is with your children, and even if there is no children, it's the same type of attraction you're going to have also. You know, communication for me is major. I know that there's a lot of families out there that, you know, they take in all the stress. You know, there's sometimes husbands that say, you know, well, I don't need to tell you this, or I don't need to do this because, you know, I'm taking control over it, or I'm taking care of it, you know, and so forth. And whether you're taking care of it or not, you still need to share that. I mean, that's the whole point of you have a partner, you know, is to share and go through the good and the bad. It's not just, you know, sticking and holding yourself with everything. So, and you know, for me, balance, as much as I love being home and taking care of my children and so forth, I think also there's a part of most individuals that also want to have that, you know, professional side. And if not, their partner seems to have a balance, because just like they are working and so forth, I think as a wife and children, if there's children involved, you want to have that balance of, you know, being involved and being an active parent and not, you know, leaving or giving the entire load to one side, you know. So I think those are the biggest, again, you know, I just talk from personal experience and from what I've seen. I know that in the past year, there's been a lot of divorces due to the financial situation, which brings a lot of anger into both sides, and then they start talking to each other, and it brings stress, and so stress brings, you know, arguments, and then arguments brings, you know, disrespect, because then you start saying things that you don't think before you speak, you know, and I think that is a major thing. You always need to think before you speak, because you have to think about how would it feel if you were in their shoes, you know.
Well,
one of the things that I've learned is life and death rests in the power of the tongue, and sometimes our words hurt so much more than anything physical.
It does, and it's very. I find situations where. I could be in a case and everything is going smoothly, and then one of them will say something and will say it with the anger or the insulting, you know, they insult the other person in the process. And I'm like, whoa, you're about to destroy everything, you know, because you need to just be careful. You just need to think before you speak. And you know, one thing that I tell everybody, you know, you got to be smart about things. And if you're going through a dissolution of marriage and you're talking about, you know, what, you know, the whole point is for things to be fair and for you to get what you want on both sides. And insulting someone or making them feel inferior is not going to get you there. You need to be smart about it, you know. And sometimes I have to separate and I'm saying, you know, you got to think on how you're speaking, because if that person is going to feel like you're making them less or you're making them feel less, you know, then you're not going to get what you want. And you have to be able to have that respect, you know, because, again, I talk a lot about children because a lot of the cases that I have and that I've done have children involved. I mean, very rare do I get a case is just, you know, husband and wife and no children, you know. So you always have to try to keep the interest of the children is the focus that I always try to keep on the table. It's like, remember, it's not about you. It's about the children and what's the best for the children, what's the best interest for them, you know.
Exactly.
What tips can you give to our listeners today who are having difficult times in their relationships right now?
I think that they should always try every path as far as counseling, you know, any type of group therapies. I think that I have a big belief, and I was brought up with it, that basically, you know, when I see that situations are getting a little bit of out of control, and, you know, people can apply this as they wish, but when I see that, you know, things are just getting messy in the household or so forth, you know, I say, well, you know, why don't we have a family meeting, You know, if there is children involved, why don't we have a family meeting? You know, why don't we talk? And you get, you know, I think that doing that a couple of months, I know it sounds very rare and strange to most families, but, you know, it is a great routine to pick up where you're able to say what you need to say in the table. And you know that at the end, when everything is done, you're back. Everybody knows where you're at and how you feel. And then you know where you're to start working from. I think that if you're going through a hard time in a relationship, I think you need to take the time to literally just communicate and talk about what are the issues. Write them down, you know, and say, listen, I just want you to listen to me. This is the issues we're having. This is at least the issues I think we're having. What do you think? You know, ask the other individual, what do you think? What do you want from this? You know, what is it? Where do you see us in, you know, 2-3 years, you know? To kind of have a better idea of where it is that you both are at, you know. I always think therapy is good. And then take it from there, you know. And basically, you know, you're the only one that's going to know exactly where to take it from. You know, but I think communication is a major. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, exactly. And what are some of the you know, the success stories that you've seen, and what made the real, you know, difference in, you know, maybe a situation that you walked into and maybe you thought when you first started, you're like, you know what, I don't know if this is going to work out too well, but you were able to come to a good resolution. You know, what do you think really made the difference in those situations?
You know, I think I did have a case that I thought that it could have probably exploded in halfway through, but I did, and they did. It came out very well, and I think it was only because I was available to talk to them at any time they needed to talk. That's something that I you know, especially if I have, you know, private clients and so forth. You can call me at any time, and we will talk. And if you are in a situation where you feel insecure, you know, I will try to talk. You know, remind you of the reasons why you made those decisions, you know, because all of that is communicated through mediation, you know. So I bring back to the reasons is like, because a lot of people, you know, they finish an agreement or they're in halfway through an agreement, and then they have the friends that are telling them, oh, well, you should do this, and you shouldn't accept this, and you should try to, you know. And so then they call, and they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, you know, and so forth. And then it's like, okay. Why? Tell me why. And then, okay, then after they tell me why, it's like, okay, well, this is why you did this. Now, do you not feel this way? You know, do you need to be reminded again of the reasons that you came to those solutions, you know, to those decisions? So I think that was one of my cases. And to this day, they're happy as far as you know, as far as a divorce can go, you know, because they do have children and they can communicate. They know that mediation is a process that they could always turn to when they're feeling insecure about certain agreements, you know, that they've come with. So I think, you know, I've had a couple of cases. I've had a couple of court cases that have come through that, you know, you think that it's like, oh, my God, we're never going to resolve here. And all of a sudden it does. And it does because, I don't know, I think that's the beauty of mediation. I think the beauty of mediation is that being able to open up and say what you need to say and then putting that to the side because it's already been, you know, heard and then moving on, you know. And a lot of people don't realize that mediation is that, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, it's available for them. So
it is. It is available. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people think that, you know, first thing that they think when they're thinking about divorce is attorneys. And yes, attorneys are good, but there's also options. You know, there's so many options nowadays. So
which is better than going to an attorney? I have a question for you.
Yes.
When do you know it's time to let go of a relationship, and how can you do it so it's a positive outcome?
I think that when I think when it's time to let go of a relationship, I think is when you feel unhappy inside. You know, you never want to live life being unhappy. And when you know that you have tried all the other steps as far as therapy and, you know, so forth, you know, group, the counseling and so forth, and you feel that, you know, there's an instinct. We have this instinct that it tells our gut what we want, you know, and I think that is the point where you need to approach it and say, you know, well, what do you think of this? And I'm at this stage in my life, and this is where I'm at, you know. And again, it all comes down to communication. It's how you approach the issue, when you approach the issue, as far as when you know that this is the end for you. Whether that person is in that level, in that stage or not, it's still something that you need to approach. Because if you continue on a relationship because of guiltiness and because you don't want to do harm to the other person or make them feel pain, then you're really not in a relationship. You know,
no.
You're basically being carried on. And really, life is too short to live that way. And I think you are either a better partner, a better friend, or a better father if you know when to put your foot down and say, you know what, I am not half of what I can be, you know, if I stay, you know, if I stay here. So I hope that answered your question.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much.
No,
that's
you're
a
welcome.
Really good point.
Thank you. Thank
Maria,
you.
Maria, did you have something else you were going to ask there?
No, I think I would let you take it, Michael. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't want to like step on a question that was about to pop out. we're getting close to the end of the interview. Maybe share a little about where people can find out more about you.
Yes, definitely. I have my website, www.karem, K-A-R-E-M, Vera, V-E-R-A. And I spell it because usually people just say Karen. So it's karemvera.com. And my email address is info@karemvera.com. So I'm also on the website for Florida, the ADR department, which is the Florida Resolution Department. So there's a lot of mediators, and you will also find me in that category and so forth. And, you know, I'm happy to help out anybody. I will speak with anybody and just help them, basically give them some guidance of which way they would choose to go.
And do you do with
people outside? Well, you know, I really – go ahead.
I'm sorry. Do you do with people outside of Florida?
I'm certified in the state of Florida. I'm not certified outside. So I would like to say yes, but no. I would like to say yes, but, you know, let's just keep it in the Florida.
Perfect.
In the state of Florida.
Oh, that's hard to contact, right?
I gotcha. We'll talk later.
Well,
okay.
There you go. For our listeners in Florida, and I know there's a number. If you need a mediator, you know where to go now. Karem, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Real quickly, before
I let you go, is there anything coming up that you'd like to mention?
There's actually an expo that I'm going to be in, and let me get here. It's called What Women Want and What Men Want Too. It's a whole bunch of different vendors. It's going to be June 8th at the Hilton Gardens Inn in downtown, at the Gardens. It's from 4 to 8. It's a nice event. You kind of get to you get a whole bunch of information from a lot of different vendors, and it's just a fun evening. So definitely that, you know, if anybody's interested, I can give them they can actually just touch base with me, and I can provide them with any information they need from there.
Great, and that's the downtown Miami?
No, okay. That's actually the Hilton Gardens Inn in downtown Palm Beach Gardens.
Palm Beach,
Gardens.
Okay.
Yeah,
I never know in South Florida, whether it's between Miami or Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, most common. Yeah.
Well, but thank you again for being with us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you, Michael and Maria, for having me. I will definitely, you know, this was fun, and I look forward to maybe talking to you guys again.
Oh, definitely.
It was a pleasure meeting you. And we'll talk soon.
Okay, Maria. Take care.
Yeah, I'm feeling Maria's call. Thanks, Karen.
All right, Michael. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, we have just a few minutes left, and I just wanted to do a quick recap, Maria. What really stuck out to you with these two people we interviewed?
Well, I think it's the greatest thing is that they're both communicating exactly what everybody needs to do, and that is communicate. Part of the problem is that we don't talk enough. And I understand, I know that there's something out there that women talk so many words a day and men are like a third of that. And so the balance of communication is a little bit off. We're a little bit more needy, like Hoover and Kenmore. We just want to suck the life out of you. And men don't tend to talk as much. So, you know, I think communication is huge. And also when it comes to family dynamic, really trying to understand families and walking in the other shoes of the family members. And so these are the things that stuck out in the interviews today, just communication and just really being able to be empathetic with the other person.
You know, I like that. I noticed that to the whole period today was talking about communication, but also good communication and respectful communication. It's one thing to communicate. It's another thing to do it in a way that's respectful of the other individual that you're having to deal with. Because a lot of times people can get upset. They may be communicating, but not in a very positive way or supportive way of the other person, and that can create even more issues if you're not being respectful.
That's so true. And just like when I was talking about life and death rests in the power of the tongue, people ask me all the time, well, isn't the, I wasn't physically abused. And I said, wow, you know, when you're physically abused and you have a broken arm, you have proof that there is a problem. But when you're emotionally abused or mentally abused and it's just verbal stuff coming at you, it's crazy making, because you can be called stupid, fat, and ugly once and your mind just continues to let it go. So, yes, your words, especially when you are in an argument, you've got to be careful on what you throw at people, because it could be the sword that just destroys their heart.
Oh, definitely. I've seen it so many times before with friends and other people I know. Someone says something and they don't, you know, they aren't thinking. They lash out and aren't thinking with what they say. And it can be truly, people don't realize how devastating it can be for someone. They can be, you know, weeks, months, years, who knows, just can be depressed, hurt because of something that you said. So we always have to be careful and mindful of what we say, even when things seem to be a little bit out of control. We got to remember to rein that in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd like to quick. We've got just a few seconds left in the show, and I want to just announce next week we have fitness expert Peggy Vreeland will be with us from North Carolina. Really fascinating woman. Not only talking about fitness, physical fitness, but life fitness. A lot of times we think about getting fit. We think about going out and working out. Well, there's a lot more to it. That. And so Peggy will be with us next week, and we had one guest that had to move the date, so we'll be working on another guest as well. It'll be a little surprise for all of you who we have as a second guest next week, but I'm hoping you all tune in next week, www.blogtalkradio.com/anythingbutordinary, every week on Wednesdays, 9 a.m. East, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. Maria, thank you so much for being with me again today.
Oh, I loved it. Thank you so much for having me, Michael.
Well, thank you, everyone. We will see you all next week. Go out, have an extraordinary life, and take some of this stuff that you heard today, some of the great information you heard today. Have some extraordinary relationships. Have an extraordinary life. We will see you next week in 7 days.